Isaiah chapter 43, beginning to read at verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And then we'll just go down a few verses to verse 15. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honour me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Amen. The Lord always makes a way for his people. He always makes a way for his people. And here it talks about how previously in the history of Israel, they'd come out of Egypt. And God had got them through the Red Sea. You may remember the story of how they'd come out of Egypt. They'd fled, and then the Egyptians started to chase them. And the armies of Pharaoh came after them as they headed towards the Red Sea. And they reached the place where they were hemmed in. On one side was the Red Sea. On the other side were the armies of Pharaoh. And they had nowhere to go. They were stuck there. And then God, as we know, intervened. And he divided the waters of the Red Sea, and they were able to go through on dry ground. And God brought a mighty deliverance for them. He made a way in the sea, it says. This is what it's referring to here. It says, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters. So he reminds them of what happened in their past, how he got them through a difficulty. He got them through what seemed to be a great obstacle, where they were stuck. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know what to do. There was a big problem, as it were, a big problem that needed dealing with. And in that situation, God got them through. And so the Lord reminds them of that situation. And we may think of what the Lord has done for us in the past. Maybe sometimes you were up against a situation, up against a wall, as it were. You didn't know what to do. You didn't know how to get out of the problem. And yet the Lord intervened and he made a way for you to get out of a problem. I think of so many times in running the book ministry that we have, when I was up against what seemed like a brick wall, I didn't know how to get out of a situation, and the Lord somehow intervened. Even just small things, like I remember when a lot of racking on which to put pallets had been delivered, and I didn't know how to get them up into the building. There was no one to help me, and I just asked the Lord, can you get me through this? And he sent one of our young people, and he came up to me right at the moment when it had been delivered, and he said, have you got any work for me to do? Right at that moment when it had just been delivered, and the Lord got me through that problem. And I'm sure we've all had experiences in our lives when we were up against a wall. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know where to go. And the Lord somehow intervened. Sometimes when we've lost something and we just cannot find it anywhere, and we pray to the Lord and he finds it, he shows us where it is. And so the Lord is reminding them. He said, once when you were in that situation as a nation, there was nothing that you could do. You were absolutely hemmed in. And yet remember how I got you through. But you see, now in the situation in which they find themselves, the situation is different. You see, here, they're in captivity. And they need to go out into the wilderness and get back home to Jerusalem. And he says, now I'm going to do a new thing. He says, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. Now you see, this is a different kind of situation that they find themselves in. As before, they had an obstacle. They had a problem. Now, they have got to navigate a wilderness. So imagine they are traveling. And it's not like today where you just jump in a car with air conditioning and you can just stop at a service station and pick up a bottle of water, whatever you need. But they were traveling through a wilderness and they had got to get back home through a dry place, through a place without roads, just a barren land, and they'd got to navigate that through. And yet the Lord is saying to them that just as I made a way for you through the problem in the past, I'm going to make a way for you through the wilderness. And you know, sometimes in our lives we reach the place where we don't know really the situation ahead of us. The whole of our lives sometimes looks like a wilderness. Everything seems blank. Everything in front of us seems dry. There doesn't seem like there's a clear path that we are to take. And yet the Lord says, I'm going to make you a way through this wilderness. I'm going to make you a road to go on to get through this wilderness because I know the way that you need to go. You see, we need to understand that the Lord is the one who is in charge of our lives. So often we want to take control of our lives and we want to be the captain of our own lives. We want to be the captains of our own salvation. But the Lord says, no, I am in charge of your lives. He makes it very clear as he at the beginning of these passages, both the start of the chapter and then the second one, that he is our creator, he is our redeemer, he's our Lord, he's our God. He's the one in charge. He says, thus saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob, he that formed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And then he says in the second passage that we read, he said, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your King. You see, he's in charge. If he's the king, he's responsible. You see, sometimes we think of a king as one who just has power and authority and they're sort of ruling. But no, they're the ones with authority. And our Lord God is the one who has authority. He's in charge of us. He's responsible for us. And he says that I will get you through. I am the Lord who makes a way. And in your situation now, you may look on the future as if it's a wilderness and you can't see where the road that you're taking. But the Lord says to us that he himself will make a way for us. And praise God that he makes the way because he has all wisdom. He has all knowledge. He knows how to get us through to the place where we need to be. Hallelujah. And so this is the character of God, that he makes a way for his people. And he makes a way that will lead us to the place where we need to go. But you see, he doesn't just make a way in the wilderness, but he makes rivers in the desert. He sustains us. And what looks to us as a dry future, and we say, I just can't see where blessing is. I can't see how, Lord, that you're going to provide for me. And I can't see any good really in this land ahead of me. Where it looks dry, it looks difficult. There's not even a road. And the Lord says, I'm also going to provide sustenance. We know where water is, then blessing flows. Things start to grow where the water is. And so he says that he's going to put water in rivers in the desert. And so this is the great encouragement that each one of us has as we look to the future and things maybe look bleak for us or we can't see the path ahead. We have to trust in the Lord our God that he is the one who's going to work it out. And you know, very often he has to put a desert in front of us in order that we learn to trust in him and stop trusting in ourselves. You see, we are so prone to look to ourselves. And when everything is easy and we can see the path ahead, we start to look to ourselves and we start to become proud and we think that we're the ones working it out instead of looking to him. But I want us to go deeper into this because he says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? And, you know, to look at it in a different light, we very often pray that the Lord would do a new thing. You say, Lord, do something new in my life. We want something else to happen, to be used in a new way, perhaps to be used in evangelism or some new ministry or just something new to happen in our service for God. Or maybe we're praying above all things that the Lord would do something new in our local church, in the church here or for visitors, their church at home or wherever we are based. And we say, Lord, do something new. Do something new in our country. Show your glory. And we long that God would do something new. But you know, if God is going to do something new in the country, in our church, the Lord has to equip us. He has to prepare us in order that we can be a part of that. And you see, if we are going to go into something new as churches, in ministries, we also sometimes have to go into something new in our own lives. And you see, when we go into something new, it's going to be something we haven't experienced before. It's going to be something that we don't know. It's going to mean a change in circumstances. You know, when you set out on the road and you go on a route that you've traveled many times, you just relax, don't you? So I know this way, and you don't even have to think, you just drive to wherever it is. But when it's a new place, certainly in the old days without sat-nav, and maybe someone was with you trying to navigate in a map, or if you're driving on your own, you have to keep stopping and working it out, or you've got instructions written out in great big letters to remind you or show you where to go. And you're a bit uncertain and you're looking around, is this the place? Is it like this? And there's a little bit of stress and you're uncertain and you don't know. And as God is wanting to do a new thing in our ministries, in our churches, in this country, we will find that God starts to do something new in our lives. And sometimes we want the new thing in the church, but we don't necessarily want a new thing in our lives. Now, why is it that God accompanies a new thing in the wider sphere with a new thing in our own lives? Think again about what they were going through here. They were going back to rebuild Jerusalem, to reestablish the testimony of God in Jerusalem. But for them personally, they were having to navigate an experience of going through the wilderness. So God is doing a new thing in rebuilding Jerusalem. That speaks to us of God rebuilding the church. And we need a great spiritual rebuilding in this country. But at the same time, they had to experience a personal new thing, a personal challenge, a personal experience where they were going through something they hadn't been before. You see, if they were hit by the Red Sea, if they were hit by a river to go through, maybe it would have been easy for them. They say, oh, we know what we do when we get to a big piece of water where you need to get through, whether it's the Red Sea, the Jordan. The Lord would just provide a way. He'll open the waters and we can walk through. That one's easy. The Lord's done that twice before. He can do it again. But when it's something new, oh, it's a dry, barren land. We've got to walk. We've got to get through this somehow. And the Lord says, yeah, it's new. It's new. Why does the Lord have to put us as individuals through new circumstances, ways we've not been before? Now, I believe the reason is because God has got to make us flexible. God has got to make us as individuals or keep us flexible. You see, when you're used to a routine, you get set in your ways, you become inflexible because you do the same thing day after day. And the Lord preserve us from, as a church, ever being in the situation where we have such a routine that we know exactly what we're doing. I love the fact that in this church, it's always fresh. You never know what's going to happen. Who's going to stand up and pray? Who's going to maybe choose a song or give a testimony or whatever it is? It has to be fresh. And so the Lord has, if he's going to do a new thing, God has got to make us as individuals flexible. And he does that by throwing us as individuals into new circumstances, new places where we've not been before, in order to keep us supple. I find this very much taught in Matthew and chapter 9, and familiar verses from verse 14. Well, let's read from verse 16 to start with. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 9, and he says, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse." Remember, you've got an old piece of clothing. You don't put a brand new piece of cloth on it to patch it up, because otherwise when you wash it again, that will shrink and it will tear the garment again. He says, "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." And so here we have a picture, I'm sure we're familiar with it. You have new wine, and if you have new wine, what's it like? It's effervescent. You know how champagne is bubbling up, and new wine is like that. It's still alive. It's fizzing, and it's doing things. Now, if you put that into old bottles, old wine skins that have become stiff and hard, like an old pair of boots, like old leather boots, if you put that new wine in with all this effervescence, they will crack the old wine skins. So Jesus says you put new wine in new wineskins. And then, because the new wineskin is new, it's supple, it stretches. And so when there's movement, when something is happening in that wine, the wineskin stretches. And so the point that Jesus is making for us is that in our lives, if the Holy Spirit is going to move in us to use us in a fresh way, if God is going to move by his Holy Spirit in the local assembly, in order for us to be able to be used in that, we as individuals have got to be supple. We've got to be stretchy. We've got to be able to move with the Holy Spirit. You see, if God suddenly comes into this meeting and draws in a lot of unbelievers and unexpected things and new things happen, then we have to be flexible in order to go with that. You know, at times of revival, people can just suddenly start crying in the meeting. As they come under conviction of sin, as the Holy Spirit moves on them, great big men who look rough suddenly start breaking down in tears. And we can't, as Christians, be in the position where we're just suddenly, "Oh, what is going on?" and sort of looking at them with surprise and not knowing what to do. We have to be in a position where we move with the Holy Spirit, like that wine moving, the wineskin moves. And we have to be in a position when people come in, and if they're falling down on their faces and crying out to God, we've got to be in a position where we are flexible and we can move with the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't just come from just reading the Bible and wanting to do the right thing. The only way that God can make us flexible is by bringing challenges into our lives, keep bringing us new things in our lives. So we have to learn to go with something new. And if we've learned to go with something new in our own lives, whether it's a problem, whether it's new circumstances, if we've learned to go with something new in that situation, we can go with something new in our church. Do you see what we're saying? If God is going to move in our lives, in the church, in the country, we have to be in a place of flexibility so that we can go with that. And the only way is for God to bring us into new circumstances, places we haven't been before in our own lives, that we might learn flexibility. And it's really quite striking that if you go back a couple of verses from where we're reading in Matthew 9, that this is actually the context. It's quite incredible, because if you go back a couple of verses and look at the context in which Jesus speaks about the new wine in new vessels, is Matthew 9 and from verse 14. This is the context. It's about being flexible. It says, verse 14, "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." In other words, things change. They're not fasting now because I'm with them and it's not the time for fasting. But I'm not going to be with them soon, and then they're going to be fasting. You see, there are changing circumstances. And then immediately after that, Jesus speaks to them about the fact that new wine has got to be in new wineskins. There has to be this flexibility in our lives. And sometimes we are longing for God to do something new. But maybe we're not longing for God to do something new in our own private lives, in our own experience. But we have to see that the two are going together. And above all, we need to see that we as Christians are on this earth not to please ourselves. We're not here just to have a pleasant life and get through with the least amount of difficulty and just enjoy ourselves and one day go to heaven. We're not here just looking to God that he would just be there and intervene whenever we have a problem, get us through life and then come out and get at the other end and go to heaven. No, we're here in order to serve the Lord. We're here in order to minister to people. And we have to see in our lives that this is what God does. He brings in challenges to us to equip us, to make us ready to serve him, to get us in the best possible position. And it disturbs me so much that in the church these days that there is this attitude that we just, God is there just to make our life as pleasant as possible. And just to get us out of trouble and make our lives pleasant. No, he brings us into these times of challenge in order to equip us, in order to serve him. And so when these problems arise, how do we respond? When something new happens, how do we respond? You see, in the Bible, it talks about people at different times who respond in the wrong way. Different places in Hebrews, and for example in chapter 4, it talks about the Israelites in the wilderness. That's the first time in the wilderness. And it says in verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And it talks about those who were in the wilderness, who hardened their hearts before the Lord. It says, verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And so those who were in the wilderness, and they were brought into new circumstances. They'd gone out of Egypt, they'd gone into the wilderness, and they were going to go into the promised land. But you remember when the spies came and gave what the authorized version calls an evil report, and they said it's too difficult for us to get into the land. How did people respond? How did the Israelites mainly respond? It says that they hardened their hearts. You see, they were going into a new situation. They'd come out of Egypt, they'd gone into the wilderness. They were going from the wilderness into the promised land. It was a new thing. They were faced with enemies. It was a fruitful land. But it was a new place. And it says that they hardened their hearts. And the hardening of the heart is the exact opposite of this being flexible. They could not be flexible for a new situation. And that kept them out of the promised land. It kept them out of blessing. They say, well, we're used to the wilderness. We're used to just been a little while in the wilderness, and we're used to that. We can't cope with a new situation. Can't cope with a new situation. And that kept them out the promised land. But for Caleb and Joshua, who were flexible, yeah, we can do this. We can get in there. We can defeat the enemy with God being with us. And they were flexible, and they got into the new thing. And again and again, it talks about those who could not cope with a new situation, hardening their hearts. After the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, in Luke 24, it spoke about those who could not believe that he had risen from the dead and that they had hardened their hearts. He upbraided them because of the hardness of their hearts. And a hard heart is a heart that is not flexible. A heart that cannot just move with the situation and relax. We think also of, in terms of marriage, the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, Moses spoke about divorce. And he permitted divorce. And Jesus said, because of the hardness of your hearts. And what does that talk about? Within marriage, you've got to be flexible for your marriage to work, because it's two individuals with working together with their own ideas and different thoughts. And there has to be a flexibility to move with the day, move with the mood of the other person, move with the situation. And so there has to be that softness of heart, this flexibility. And so this is what God is doing. That God wants us to be in a place where we can move with the Holy Spirit, because God is wanting to do a new thing amongst us. We're coming towards a close, but God is wanting to do a new thing in our lives, in our ministries, in our churches. He's always wanting to do a new thing. He's always wanting to come in power. But you see, the thing that is holding it back very often is that we are not ready, because we're not willing to just go with where God wants to lead us. And we're so concerned about a new situation, a new circumstance has come into our lives, a situation where we can't see the way ahead. And God says, you just need to trust me. You just need to be flexible. You just need to rest in me and remember who I am. Remember that I'm your creator. Remember that I'm your redeemer. Remember that I've called you by name and I'm not going to make a mistake in your life. You have to look to me, to who I am, and stop looking at the circumstances. Stop looking at yourself and simply look to me, because I will get you through. I am the one who makes a way for you. You don't make your own way. It's not for you to try and puzzle out where you are going, but I am going to make a way for you. And when you get to the end of the situation that you've been in, you will have a testimony and you will say, God made a way for me. Amen. There's no praise, there's no glory to God when we just worked something out and just battled through on our own and somehow survived. But when you didn't know where you were going, when you were up against it and God brought you through and you look back and you said, God, you got me through the wilderness. You did make a way. You led me through. You provided for me. You sustained me in the midst of that situation. Then the glory goes to God, because God has sustained us. Hallelujah. Just looking at that verse where we started. He says, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He will make a way through the water. He will make a way through the fire. Whatever circumstances we are going through, he will make a way for us. And all we have to do is trust him moment by moment, day by day. And we may not be able to see tomorrow or the next day or the future. We have no idea where things are going. But all we need to do is to look to him and say, I know in whom I have believed, and I know that he is able. And we look to him and know not our circumstances, no, not our own ability, but to know our God and to know that he has the power to carry us through. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you got your people through. You got them through water. You got them through the wilderness. You did a new thing. And you kept them trusting in you. And we pray, oh God, when we can't see the way ahead, that we would keep trusting in you, keep looking to you, keep abiding in you, knowing that you will get us through to the place where we need to be. Oh God, preserve us from trusting in ourselves. As we look to you, as you're going to do a new thing in our church, in our ministries, in our lives, may we be flexible to go the way that you want us to go. And may we be supple, not having hardness of hearts, but simply resting on you and being led by the Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.